I thought I better come up and introduce you to our speaker this morning, our replacement for Don in the pulpit. Don will not be leaving, but he is taking on another role. But Brother Dennis will be preaching, and he comes to us from Arnett, a huge metropolis of about 500 people, I think, wasn't it? And he will be filling the pulpit. He and his family arrived last Thursday, and they're all settled in, and he's ready to go to work.
Amen.
I don't think they're settled in quite yet, but they are here, and we do welcome them. And at this time, let's give all our attention to our brother Dennis Folks.
Thank you, Art. Now, for Art and any others who might get the wise idea of stealing the preacher's notes, I just want you to know I have several sermons that I can preach just on the drop of a hat. But they're all 30 minutes longer than the original sermons. So you just might want to keep that in mind in case you decide to be a little ornery. I want you to know how wonderful it is to finally get here. You know, I think it's been about a month and a couple of weeks since the decision was made. And it's been a long month and 2 weeks since that time. We're just glad to be here now. I've been telling everyone we've now slept here a couple of nights, so we're officially Ponca Cityans, and we're glad to be here in doing that. I also want to thank you so much on behalf of my family. Since the announcement was made in the last month or so, we've received several cards from many of you. We've tried to answer back the best we could. I know we didn't get some of you answered back. It kind of got chaotic towards the end with the move and everything. But those were such uplifting cards, and they were so greatly appreciated. We thank the people who did so much work at the house. It looks beautiful, and it's painted, and some new fixtures and things, and it's just a wonderful place. I know we're going to have a great home there. And also those that helped get the office ready. There's just so many things that so many people did, and we want you to know how grateful we are. You know, one of the last things that I told the Christians at Arnett is that I can't say goodbye because as Christians, it's until we meet again. And the thing is, wherever I go, the places that I've been, the people I've been associated with are family to me. You know, I don't get to stay and live around my blood family except for my immediate family. And so, you know, where I go and where I hang my hat and where I minister, that's my family. And, I have felt like, you know, since the moment that I've tried out in this congregation, you have become family to me. And one of the things that I told my wife during the weekend that we were here trying out and also the time that we came back to do the question and answer session, we got to meet so many people and got to know so many people. I said, I'm going to be really disappointed if they don't ask me to be their preacher. You know, I want to carry on those associations and relationships. So I got my opportunity, and I'm thankful for it. You know, in my 29 years of ministering, almost 30 years of ministering, I've learned a great deal of things. I'm sure that I've got many things to learn in the future years that God gives me. But I've learned a lot of things about what makes me a more effective minister and what helps me to be a better servant to you, be a better servant to others as we all serve the Lord. And I kind of wanted to touch on some of these things this morning, and of course they all have biblical precedents that we're going to look at. But it will just be things that will kind of let you know me better and also help me to minister to you better and be a better servant for you. And I certainly want to be the best servant that I possibly can. One comes from Galatians chapter 6 in verse 2. It says there, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Everywhere that I have been, there have always been brothers and sisters who are encountering various problems, that are encountering some situations of tragedy. Sometimes they're just simply perplexed by some things that they're trying to make decisions on. And they have used my counsel and have come to me for advice or come to me for encouragement. And I want you to know everyone here is welcome to do that. Because we all have moments in life where we kind of need just to be able to empty ourselves on someone else, just to be able to talk about some of the problems we're encountering or just kind of seek some advice from someone else. That's why God put us together. I've often wondered, why is it that God commanded assembly whenever we could have had a very personal relationship with Him? Well, one of the reasons is what we've just looked at. He knew that we would need to lean on each other and we would need to help each other while we walk on this road that leads to heaven. And He knew that there would be times that we would encounter things that would be heavy for us to have to carry, and we would need to unload those burdens. And of course, we can always go to God, and we know that. And I know every one of us unload our burdens quite often on God. But sometimes we need something with skin on it. You know, sometimes we need to be able to go to a brother or sister and just be able to talk about things. My door will always be open to you. You know, I want you to feel free to be able to come and to visit with me at any time in the day or night. Now, if you call me at 3 a.m. in the morning, I'll still visit with you, but I may not be as attentive as I might be later on in the day, okay? But I am a good listener. That's one trait. I'll tell you a bad trait here in a little bit. But, you know, I'm a good listener, and I'm not judgmental, and I want to help you with any situation that you might have. And we're always going to use the Bible to look as a guide and a source of knowledge to help us with those particular problems. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 through 16 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited." We need to be able to be accessible to one another. You need to know that you have me in your corner. I need to know that I have you in my corner. And so this is one of the ways that we'll do that. And I also want you to know that I will keep things confidential. There's a story about three men who were going out fishing. They used to go out fishing quite a bit. One of them was a Methodist minister. One of them was a Baptist preacher. And the other was a Church of Christ preacher. And one time they're out in this boat and they're fishing. And the Methodist minister said, "You know, men," he says, we've debated and talked a lot about theological doctrine and differences and similarities and things over our years, but he said, "Today let's do something a little different." He said, "Today let's share with each other our greatest weakness in life." And the Methodist minister says, "I'm going to start and go first." He says, "I want you men to know that I have a real problem with taking things that don't belong to me." He said, I go through stores and I'll grab a few little knickknacks just to see if I can get away with it." And he says, "I've been pretty good at it." He said, "Even last week," he said, I took $500 out of the communion plates after church was over." And so he looks at the Baptist preacher and he says, "Okay, you're next." The Baptist preacher says, "Well, you know, I like to take a little drink every now and then." And he said, "Sometimes a little drink, it turns into a lot of drink." And he said, "Sometimes I wake up and I don't know what's happened in this time lapse." He said, "In fact, just last week," he said, "I was drinking and I drank a little too much." And he said, "I got in a car. Next thing I know, I woke up next to a strange woman the next morning." And so now they go and they've told their stories or their weaknesses, and they turn to the Church of Christ preacher. And they say, "Okay, we've had our turn. We want to hear yours." And he said, "Well, men," he said, "I'm going to tell you the truth." He said, "I love to gossip." And he said, "Right now, I can't wait till this fishing trip is over and I can get back to town." Now, I want you to know you are welcome to visit with me and I will keep it confidential, okay? I'm not going to go and tell everybody else, but I know that sometimes there are those needs. And I just want to be accessible to you in that way as a Christian brother should be. Secondly, this morning, good communication from you helps me to be a better preacher. I need good communication from you. Just as you need good communication from me, I need good communication from you. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 through 40, Christ preaches a parable. He says, "And the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" Now, when you take a look at the things that Christ mentions here, these are just kind of everyday things. And yet, Christians, all the Christians were practicing these things. And Christ was thankful for it. And he told them about it. Now, one of the things about this is these are things that all of us can do. But I feel that the Bible gives to me as a minister a kind of an extra responsibility in being an example in leading in these things or showing an example. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." So, you know, I know that whenever it comes to visiting the sick, being there for surgeries, I want to be there. I want to visit you if you are in the sick. If you've got some loved ones that would appreciate a visit, I want to be there for them too. You know, I want to be able to serve in that way. I know, again, that we all have that responsibility, but I want to be an example in doing that. And I know that it's important to a lot of folks to have the minister there. I want to be able to show you how much I care. I want to show you how much I love you and appreciate you by being there for you. And I want to be able to pray with you. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If you're in the hospital and I come to visit you and you're sleeping, I am going to wake you up. You know, if I'm going to go through the effort to come to the hospital to pray with you, I'm going to wake you up. So I'm just letting you know that ahead of time. In the past, no one's had a problem with that, but I want you to know that. But here's the deal. In order for me to know that you are in a dire situation, that you want a visit, I've got to know it. I've got to know you're in the hospital. I've got to know that you have had a loved one pass away and that you would like some comfort. I was sitting listening to announcements a couple of years ago. And they make this announcement, "Sister so-and-so was in the hospital for 3 days this last week because of a fall that she took, but she's now at home and she is with us this morning. We're glad to see that she's doing better." Well, I didn't know anything about it until I'd heard the announcement that morning. And so I go up to her and after the services are over, and I said, "I would have loved to have been there to be able to pray with you and see you." I said, I didn't know you were there. And then she said, "Well, my daughter posted it on Facebook." I want you to understand something right now. I don't do Facebook. Okay? Now, I know a lot of you do. It's a good way to keep up with family. I just don't do it. And even if I did it, I don't have time to look at everybody's Facebook on an everyday basis to see what's going on in your lives. I've just got more to do. Okay? But if you will call me, or have somebody call me or text me, I will be glad to be able to help you in your situation. That's just good communication, okay? And so if you'll communicate with me, it'll make me a better servant. in being able to help you. You can also call Don. You could call Loopy. You could call one of the elders, and they can get a hold of me as well. But, I want you to know that I want to be there for you. And I want to be able to help you, and that'll just help me to take care of that situation so much better. Third, this morning, I will preach and teach the whole truth of God's Word. And you know, I know that sounds obvious to you, and I hope that it does, and I'm glad that it sounds obvious to you. But it's been my experience that some within the brotherhood do not want to hear the whole counsel of God. I've had brothers and sisters literally tell me over the years that they did not want to hear sermons on church doctrine. One particular sister informed me that she did not want to hear any sermons on salvation or Church of Christ issues, as she called it. One particular brother told me he did not want to hear any sermons or teaching from the Old Testament because it was no longer relevant to us anymore. I've got different opinions on that, and I have had several tell me they only wanted to hear sermons that came from the four Gospels. Understand that in 29 years of service, I have had one book to pull lessons and sermons from. For my remaining years of service to the Lord, I will continue to have one book to pull lessons and sermons from. Since I only have one book, I am going to preach the whole book. And you need to know that, and I hope that you agree with me on that, because this is the source of life. This is the source of knowledge that we are to live our lives by, and God gave us all of these scriptures for a reason. And so it is that we need to know and to understand them. I have as a responsibility, as a minister, this thing that Paul directs Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 going through chapter 4, verse 2, says this: "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." What's interesting about that is the sacred writings that Timothy would have learned would have been the Old Testament. And yet it's those writings that led people to Christ. And you see that prevalently in the New Testament. The whole Bible needs to be taught. All Scripture, verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent. Some versions say thoroughly equipped, which I like that phrase. Equipped for every good work. I want to be thoroughly equipped for my service to the Lord. I want you to be thoroughly equipped for your service to the Lord. And the only way we are able to do that is by teaching and preaching the whole Word of God. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." I will strive to do that in all my teaching. I work very hard to try and be very balanced in my teaching. I don't want to have to preach and teach one particular subject all the time, and you don't want to hear one particular subject all the time. You want to hear a good balance. Jesus was a very balanced teacher, and I strive to be so as well. So that's the way that I will approach all of my preaching. That's the way that I will approach all of my teaching, and I will use the whole Word in that. I've got one last thing that I want to bring to you this morning. I know that sometimes when we think of evangelism, we think that's the preacher's job. You know, we hire the preacher to evangelize. But you know what? The Bible teaches us something different about that. The Bible teaches us that every one of us here has a responsibility in evangelism. And I know that some will say, "Well, you know, I can't go and teach and preach." Well, there are things you can do that is still considered evangelism. And I'm going to discuss that with you in just a moment. But, you know, I know we think of the Great Commission a lot of times whenever we think of evangelism. But I kind of want to go to another area of Scripture, Acts chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 4. And this comes at a time in which the church, the early church, is being heavily persecuted by the Jews. And as it's being persecuted, verse 1 says, "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria except the apostles." So this isn't talking about the apostles being scattered. It's talking about Christians like you and I. It's talking about disciples, those who follow Christ and those who want to tell others about Christ. Now listen to what they're doing. Verse 4. "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." Now, it's not just saying the preachers went about preaching the word. It's not just saying the apostles went about preaching the word. These are Christians like you and I. And as they were scattered, they were going about preaching the word. So evangelism is a responsibility for all of us. Now, someone might ask, well, how is it that I can evangelize? If I can't speak well, I can't teach well, what is it that I can do? Well, one thing is fairly obvious. And I remember preachers preaching this ever since I was a small boy growing up in the church. You can invite people to come to worship and Bible study. You know, and as easy as that sounds, sometimes it is a little difficult. You're actually putting your faith on the line. You're showing people that you have faith and that you have fervor in your Christian walk with God whenever you ask them and invite them. But everyone's got neighbors. Everyone's got family members, everyone's got co-workers and acquaintances that you can ask to come to worship with you. And you know, my next door neighbor, we got to meet them here recently, and I invited them to come and to worship with us this morning. And they said that they thought that they would probably come one of these days. You don't know till you ask. But that's something that everyone can do. Doesn't matter, you know, what your skills and abilities are, everyone can ask. And that's evangelism, when you're inviting someone to do that. You can ask them if they would like to study on how to be saved with someone from the church. You know, if you don't feel confident enough in holding a personal Bible study with someone, and that's something that I hope to be able in the future, be able to teach a class maybe on doing that very thing. But if you don't feel confident in doing that, folks, there are people in this congregation that can. And, you know, a lot of people feel comfortable if they're willing to study the Word, and if they're wanting to know more about Christianity, then there's an open door there. And you know when that door's open. Whenever they start talking to you about spiritual things, that door's open. And it's a good time to say, you know, I know some people that could spend 3 hours with you in a couple of different sessions that will sit down with you and will answer all these questions that you have and also show you what we believe about salvation, what the Bible teaches about salvation, even show you why it is that we worship the way we do. Because there's a lot of people in this congregation, I suspect, that are able to do that. I would love to do that. I would love for you to set me up some Bible studies to be able to talk with people. And you know what? If we get, boy, this would be great. If we get 5 or 6 Bible studies in 1 week and one person can't get to them all, we've got people that can do it. I know that I'm putting Stacy on the spot here, but I know that Stacy can do it because Stacy and I used to do this same Bible study. I know that Don can do it, and he wants to do more of that. One of the things that he's going to be trying to concentrate on in the ministry in which he's going to be doing now. I'm sure that there are others. I don't know, you know, everybody's background in here, but I'm sure there are plenty of others who can study with folks and lead them to Christ. So you have resources. You have people available. And so it is, you know, it's a simple thing. It's a hard thing too. I understand that, but it's a simple thing to say, you know, we've got folks that would study with you and be glad to study with you. When can we set up a time for Bible study? The church here may have resources that you can use that are fairly simple to use. I don't know if the church here has the Jewel Miller film strips that are now on DVDs. But, you know, that's one of the things where you just kind of sit down and the person watches it, and the films and lessons actually teach them what they need to know. And at the end, you get to ask them if they'd like to be baptized into Christ. But there's probably some other resources. I know there's some other study materials that might help you as well. But here's one of the things that I want all of us this morning to understand. You are the outreach for the Lord. You get to encounter people that I will not get to encounter. I hope to be able to encounter some folks, but you know, a lot of my interactions are going to be with you in my ministry. And so it's going to be up to you. Those co-workers at work, those neighbors next door, those family members that you have, whatever the situation may be, you're going to have to look for the open doors. And when those open doors open up, that's the time to step in and evangelize. That's the opportunity that God is giving you. And you can't wait for somebody to come around and take care of that opportunity. We are, all of us, given opportunities that God gives just to us. And whenever we get those opportunities, we've got to step in and take advantage of it. And so it is, you are the outreach for this church. You are the ones that are going to be interacting with people in Ponca City. You are going to be the best tool that God has of reaching souls. Now, here's where I kind of come in, and I'll just kind of put this in a simple way. You bring the people in. It's my job not to run them off. Okay? You understand that? Your job to bring them in. My job is to not run them off. And like I said, I would love to be able to hold a great deal of Bible studies. And anytime you need my help, and that doesn't mean that, you know, Dennis, I've got a brother-in-law or a cousin to my brother-in-law that, you know, I really think that he needs to have a Bible study. Go to his house and ask him if he needs to have one. You set it up. You make the contact. You are the person they know, okay? You're the person initially that they trust. And so it is, you know, you need to take advantage of that. But any way that I can help, I want to help. I want to have Bible studies with people. And isn't that how we're going to grow? You know, we're looking at what our purpose is here at this time, as this congregation, as this people. We have an opportunity to grow. And our opportunity is going to come through us making contact with others, through us having the courage. And it's going to take some courage, isn't it? It takes some courage to say, hey, would you like to come to worship with me? Would you like to set up a Bible study and study about God's Word, study about His salvation? It takes some courage. But you know what? In the little time that I've got to meet you and get to know you, I believe you've got that courage. You've got a sweetness about you. You've got a greatness about you. You've got great personalities that just shine before others. You know, you've shined to my family. I know you've got that personality that can shine to people out in our community. Use that. Be willing to step into that uncomfortable zone. And I guarantee you, after you've done it a couple of times, it becomes a lot easier. And it's so rewarding. Brothers and sisters, you don't know how great, some of you do, but you don't know how great and wonderful it feels to lead somebody to the Lord. And if this congregation is going to grow in number, it's not going to happen through one man. We're a team. You know, there's no ball team that is successful by one person. It takes a full team working together for the cause. And that's what Christ, that's what He wanted. And that's what He intended by His church. We are a team. And if we will work together, take advantage of the opportunities that's presented to us, use the talents and abilities that God has blessed each of us with, we will grow. I have no doubt about that.
I believe that with all my heart. Why do I believe that? Because the Bible tells me so. And so it is that as we look on all these things, you know, I want you to understand these things. Make me a better servant for you. Make me a better servant for the Lord, and I will do everything within my energy and abilities to make you better servants for the Lord as well. If you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, we want you to know that that is something that is very important in everyone's life. And if you want to know what that gospel is, the Bible made it very simple in the plan of salvation. The Bible says that we need to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to be willing to confess that belief before others. We need to repent of our sins. Sin separates us from God. We cannot draw close to God without having that sin removed. Christ gave us that avenue. And through baptism, we enter into Christ. We are in Christ. We are in access to the blood of Christ, and that blood washes our sins away and continues to wash that sin away as long as we walk in the light and strive to be obedient. And if you're here this morning and you're subject to that invitation, we are ready and willing to assist you in your decision if you'll but come while together we stand and sing.